council will come to order and
in my office.
Carla, would you please
call the roll for our 2 o'clock session?
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Novick?
Here.
Fritz?
Here.
Hales?
Here. Okay, welcome everyone. We only have a couple of items this afternoon. The first is 572.
Adopt the City of Portland's Civil Rights Title VI Plan.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor. Good afternoon, afternoon, Commissioners. How are you? My name is Brian Inge. I am the Director of the Bureau of Internal Business Services. In front of you for your consideration today is an ordinance for your approval regarding the city's Civil Rights Title VI Plan. I'm here on behalf of Jack Graham. Jack Graham is not here, but he is in full support of the plan that you have in front of you today. Along with me is Shoshana Oppenheim. Shoshana is the Civil Rights Title II and the 88. Did I get the right numbers? No. Civil Rights Title VI and the 88 Title II Program Manager. We are here today with a few of our colleagues, along with community members here, to ask you to adopt the city's Civil Rights Title VI plan. This plan has its origin in the 1964 Civil Rights Act. It lays the foundation to ensure that no person shall be excluded from participation in, or is denied the benefit, or is subjected to discrimination under any program or activity receiving federal financial assistance. As part of the Portland plan adopted by the city, City Council directed OMF to develop the City of Portland Civil Rights Title VI plan. With the adoption of this plan, we can affirm that the City of Portland is in compliance with the federal law that was enacted to ensure that all people have full access to the benefits of their government. This plan will establish a framework of policies and actions the city will take forward from this day forward to accomplish this goal. This plan provides a path forward to achieve the vision of the Portland plan, which is a prosperous, educated, healthy, and an equitable Portland for all. In the next few minutes, you will hear from several people about the significance of the plan. There are a few of the many people who have given their time and consideration to the creation of this plan. They are here to share with you why the plan is important to the city, why it's important to the community, and they will tell you why they are committed to what this plan represents. Shoshana will share more detail with you about the plan in front of you today. After we hear from Shoshana, you will hear from three city partners intimately involved in improving equity of access and benefits for all Portlanders: Joe Wall of the Office of Equity and Human Rights, Amalia Alacorn-Morris of the Office of Neighborhood Improvement, Greg Jones from the Bureau of Transportation, who will talk about how this plan will advance their work, and then you will hear from our community partners. With that, I'll turn it over to Shoshana.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to bring the city's civil rights plan to City Council today. As Brian mentioned, I'll walk you through the plan. But before I did, I wanted to thank some of the many people who worked tirelessly to bring the plan to City Council today. Our city attorney, Tracy Reeves, Director Dante James, and the entire Office of Equity and Human Rights, the Public Involvement Advisory Council and its members, Afifa Ahmed Shafi, Professor Lisa K. Bates, Desiree Williams-Raji, and thank you to the efforts of Victor Salinas of the Latino Network, Patricia Rojas of the Catholic Charities, John Oster of Opal, Katie Sawicki of the Urban League, and all of the community members that made this product much better document and ultimately improve the work that I'm sharing with you today. So to begin with, the City of Portland is required to comply with the 1964 Civil Rights Act and the associated federal non-discrimination regulations. An important component of compliance is to develop a plan that outlines how the city will comply with Title VI, which is the title that obligates the local governments to deliver services free from discrimination based on race, color, or national origin. The Civil Rights Plan is an outline of how the city will meet the City of Portland will meet its obligations and provide access to all Portlanders to our programs, services, and activities. Adopting the plan today gives the city another tool in our toolbox to advance equity. The plan is part of the city's effort to remove physical and cultural barriers and conditions that prevent persons of color, persons with disabilities, low-income persons, persons with limited English proficiency, and other disadvantaged groups from accessing the city's services, programs, and benefits. As outlined in the Portland Plan and the Racial Equity Strategy Guide, adoption and implementation of the Title VI plan is the next step in our citywide equity agenda. The objectives of the plan are to ensure that the City of Portland is in compliance with Title VI, including compliance by our grantees, subgrantees, and contractors, and to assign compliance responsibilities. To ensure that all persons are able to receive the benefits of the city's programs, services, and activities, and to ensure that limited English proficient individuals are provided meaningful access to the city's programs, services, and activities. It's important to note that this plan, one of the objectives is to avoid, minimize, and mitigate the disproportionate adverse environmental effects, including social and economic effects on communities of color and low-income populations as a result of the city's decision-making. We will also establish clear procedures for filing and investigating and resolving complaints on a timely basis and hopefully at the lowest possible level. The plan will meet these objectives by promoting early and meaningful public involvement and engagement in planning and project decision-making and all of the processes that the city is involved in. Promoting access to our programs, services, and activities for persons with limited English proficiency, and ensuring fair treatment and just distribution of the benefits and burdens resulting from the execution of the city's policies and programs. Administration of the program will be performed in partnership with the Bureau citywide. This important work requires partnership, coordination, and cooperation across all bureaus. An important element of the program is creating that formalized complaint procedure that I mentioned. The complaint process is housed in the Bureau of Internal Business Services in OMF, and we will strive to develop an easy-to-use procedure and that is accessible in the language of the complainant. Annual reporting from the bureaus will demonstrate the city's success and challenges in meeting the Title VI requirements, and the Title VI program manager will provide a triennial report to Council, evaluating the city's ability to achieve our goals and summarizing any complaints and their resolutions. In addition, the Title VI program will establish an evaluation program to determine if the plan requires revisions or updating. The next step is implementation, and we will be developing a full implementation plan with our partners in the community. We will be informing the community of the protections provided by the Title VI plan, training city staff on the requirements and expectations of implementation of the Title VI plan, and promoting access to all of our services for all Portlanders. We will be posting non-discrimination policies, notices, and notices prominently so that the public understands the civil rights protections. And I'm already beginning to work with the city bureaus to determine the best way to meet our LEP obligations, developing appropriate plans to ensure meaningful participation and access for persons with limited English proficiency. So with that, thank you very much. And I'd like to introduce the next panel, Joe Wall, Amalia Alarcon-Morris, and Greg Jones.
Thanks, Shoshana. Good afternoon.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Who's on first here?
I guess I'll go first. Good afternoon, Mayor Hales and members of the council. My name is Joseph Wall. I am the Assistant Director for the City's Office of Equity and Human Rights. It's my pleasure to speak on behalf of this plan and in support of its immediate implementation. The Title VI plan is in direct alignment with the Equity Office's vision of city services administered and delivered in a way that gives all Portlanders access to the opportunities necessary to satisfy their essential needs, advance their well-being, and achieve their full potential. It also supports our office's mission to provide education and technical support to city staff and elected officials, leading to recognition and removal of systemic barriers to fair and just distribution of resources, access, and opportunity, starting with issues of race and disability. Our office has been involved throughout the process to bring this plan to council and see it as an important tool in our work to further equity and reduce disparities in city services. While compliance with legal mandates is only one dimension of advancing equity, our office recognizes it as an essential dimension. Therefore, we fully support the work of OMF and the Title II and Title VI programs to ensure compliance with the federal law. We'd hope, though, that council and bureau leaders will see this plan as establishing a baseline rather than a ceiling for creating a more accessible city government for all Portlanders, and that it won't be used or viewed solely as a compliance tool. The Equity Office will be able to utilize this document in our work with city bureaus to assist them in developing their equity strategic plans. It will also assist us in providing a framework for the work being done in regard to accessibility for limited English language or LEP speakers and people with disabilities, as well as environmental justice issues. In these areas, the Equity Office will work with the Commission on Disabilities and the New Portlander Policy Council to develop broader goals and objectives. And just as an aside from data that might be of interest to you in regard to our limited English language users and speakers, 1 in 5 neighbors are foreign-born in the city of Portland. So it's about 18%. And these tend to be segregated in certain neighborhoods. Powellhurst, Gilbert neighborhood, in fact, is over 70% foreign-born. Portland resettles about 100 refugees per month, so about 1,100 to 1,300 new arrivals annually. And half of new Portlanders are Spanish speakers. So you can see that this is a very realistic need for the city to become truly accessible and inclusive to all of the residents of the city of Portland. So finally, we see adoption of this plan as another meaningful step for the city to show we're serious about changing the way we do business here at the city of Portland. To that end, it will be important for us to focus on proactively addressing the areas outlined in this plan rather than waiting for issues or complaints to arise. Our focus needs to be on implementation rather than on compliance. The Equity Office is a key stakeholder and partner in the work of this plan, and we look forward to advancing its goals. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe. Greg?
Good afternoon. I'm Greg Jones. I'm representing the Bureau of Transportation today. In 2009, Council adopted the Title VI plan for the Bureau of Transportation, prepared by Tracy Reeve, Daniel Brooks, and I, with the understanding by ODOT that and Federal Highway Administration that Council and the city would expand the program to address all bureaus. As you are undoubtedly aware, it's not just those spending federal funds that are obligated to abide by this rule. It is all dollars that are spent within the jurisdiction. Since 2009, I've been working with Daniel Brooks, Tracy Reeve, and now Shoshana Oppenheim to advance the citywide plan. The groundwork for that 2013 citywide plan is a result of Danielle's work with our community partners and the policy work of the Portland Plan, the Racial Equity Strategy Guide that has been developed over the last few years. Shoshana has now stepped up to engage the Bureau leadership, identify key areas of importance, and develop a legal framework that will help us implement the citywide plan. She has asked the bureaus for feedback and sought out experts who could improve on the framework previously adopted. And Shoshana has given much effort and thought to develop a complaint process and this proposed plan that allows the public to have the civil rights protections allowed for by the 1964 Civil Rights Act, executive orders, and subsequent congressional actions. PDOT supports this plan and the efforts to bring the city into further compliance with the federal law, both in spirit and letter. I will be submitting this plan upon adoption to ODOT and the Federal Highway Administration to further update our past work and to create a centralized city effort on Title VI compliance. This work benefits all the bureaus, all the people of Portland, and represents a significant step forward. Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks for your work. Oh, yeah.
Buenas tardes. I'm one of those Spanish speakers in the city of Portland. Mayor, commissioners, thank you for having me here today. I wanted to start briefly with an anecdote. I had a Canadian student call me a couple weeks ago. She's working on her dissertation. And in her research on social sustainability, she has found two cities that she wants to focus on for her dissertation. One is in Canada. Don't ask me which one because I can't remember right now. But we are the second city that she is including in her dissertation. And she asked me during our conversation whether I believed that the city got the connection between public involvement and equity. And I told her that it hadn't always been the case, but I really felt that we had made great strides in the last few years in that direction. Effective and equitable community involvement is a major element of the Title VI compliance plan. And to that end, a few of the tenets of the policy framework before you address our need as a city to ensure early and meaningful public involvement in city decision-making processes and to ensure that the public is provided opportunities to be engaged and involved in the decision-making of our bureaus. As my colleague Afifa Ahmed Shafi of the Public Involvement Advisory Council says, civil rights is the marriage between public involvement and equity. In order to truly achieve equity in our city, it's necessary for us to be able to inclusively and meaningfully engage all the communities of Portland. Civil rights ensures and holds us accountable to be able to do just that. So what is the role that we play? Public Involvement Advisory Council, which is housed in ONI, and furthers the city's ability to consistently and inclusively involve the public. The Citywide Equity Committee, which Joe touched on, which will provide guidance to bureaus on equity practice, and the civil rights effort through Title VI and Title II are three critical citywide partners in the strategy to improve how the city equitably engages the community in order to achieve our equitable outcomes. ONI staff, Afifa Ahmed Shafi and Jerry Williams, will be partnering with Title VI to present three citywide trainings this fall on equitable and inclusive public involvement processes. This is a training that has been offered multiple times to local, national, and international audiences to great acclaim. The training is designed to build city staff's capacity to engage the full diversity of our community in official decision-making processes. I want to thank City Council and Commissioner Fritz particularly, and the Office of Equity and Human Rights for their leadership, your leadership, in improving equity in the City of Portland. Your leadership is reflective of the critical need for moving beyond diversity, which is the recognition and celebration of differences, to equity, which is the intentional examination of our policies, programs, and systems, to see where historical legacies of discrimination and injustices still taint our current practices. In doing this work, Portland joins a small but elite community of municipal governments that are seeking to do this important and intentional work. Thanks also go to Danielle Brooks, who's already been mentioned and probably will be again several times, who started this work in conjunction with the Portland Plan's equity framework, and to the Urban League and their coalition of government and community partners for developing the racial equity strategy guide. And last but not least, to Shoshana Oppenheim for all of her outreach and integration of input, making this before you today a very collaborative effort and modeling of what it is that we're trying to accomplish. Thank you.
Great. Thanks. Any questions for our panel? Thanks. Good work.
Thank you.
Shoshana, do you have more folks to call up?
I'd like to invite the next panel up, Katie Swicky from the Urban League, Lisa Bates from PSU, Victor Salinas from the Latino Network, and Alan De La Torre from the Accessibility and the Built Environment Committee, Subcommittee of the Commission on Disability.
We need another chair. Just slide one up there.
I think I go first.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Katie Swicky. I work for the Urban League of Portland. Today, the Urban League wants to show our support of the adoption of the Title VI plan for implementing the protections provided under the 1964 Civil Rights Act, passed 49 years ago. Ultimately, it's the implementation of this plan that will have the real and lasting impact. The Urban League has been working on this project for a few years now, first with Danielle Brooks, Shoshana's predecessor, and now with Shoshana. And we've made our voice heard. We participated in the development of the Portland plan, authored the Racial Equity Strategy Guide, advocated for the creation of the Office of Equity and Human Rights, and helped to inform this plan. We believe that it will serve as a foundational support for the city's work in equity through hiring, service delivery, contracting practices, program development, budget prioritization and allocation, as well as many other areas. And we applaud the goals of the Title VI plan, but we need to remember that Title VI outlines a minimum level of compliance. To truly create the change our communities are calling for, we must approach all of the city's work through an equity lens, coupling goals and outcomes with accountability measures, and to treat this plan as one of many tools that we need to get there. The plan will help ensure basic compliance with the Civil Rights Act, but it will also support community participation and engagement. And perhaps more importantly, if implemented with the full support, we believe that through the process of identifying deficiencies and developing mechanisms to eliminate disparities in existing benefits or burdens of Bureau projects, programs, and services, we have an opportunity to educate all of us about how institutional biases are created and how we can eliminate them. We are pleased with how seriously environmental justice is taken in this document, but the next steps need to make sure that staff are fully supported in understanding the cumulative and individual impacts of our city's decisions on low-income and communities of color. The plan is clear that meaningful engagement means just that, that we will continue to be at the table. Thank you to Mayor Hales for bringing this matter forward now, for building on our work over the last few years. And finally, as the founding organization of the Partnership for Racial Equity, we see the Title VI plan as an important component of our work on equity. Thank you for your time, and we look forward to continuing to work with you.
Thank you, Lisa.
Hi, I'm Lisa Bates from Portland State University. I'm really pleased to be here today supporting the adoption of this plan for achieving the goals of Title VI of the Civil Rights Act. I believe this Civil Rights Title VI plan demonstrates our city's commitment to prioritizing racial equity. Its passage is really a critical milestone in what's been a multi-year movement toward eliminating institutionalized racism in the city of Portland's policies, programs, and practices. Over the past few years, community leaders, city staff, and elected officials have been working together to understand how racial disparities can arise from often unintentional discrimination in public institutions. And I want to highlight some of these partnerships and processes that have brought us to this step of officially adopting a Title VI plan and moving into implementation. During the Portland plan process, the Technical Advisory Group on Equity, which I was a member and co-lead for, developed a framework for a racial and ethnic justice initiative and explicitly linked that mission to the letter and spirit of Title VI. The plan recognizes that identifying institutionalized bias and developing new procedures for equitable public service delivery are themselves the activities that demonstrate compliance with the Civil Rights Act. It's not just another tedious technicality. It's not just a reporting requirement. It provides the real underpinnings for the city's work on equity. Recognizing that translating the spirit of the Civil Rights Act into the daily work of the city is a real challenge of implementation. Mayor Adams created OEHR as its own institution to move that work forward. And with Commissioner Fritz leading the creation committee, this effort continued to be a joint project, keeping accountability to the public at the forefront of the office's work. And I really appreciated that experience, Commissioner Fritz. As OEHR formed, the Partnership for Racial Equity, which Katie just mentioned, continued this work of community policy experts, along with city staff, working together to focus on joint learning, strategy development, including research on best practices, consultation with policy and community experts, and building a mutual understanding of community needs and public sector procedures and roles. The Strategy for Racial Equity Guide highlighted practices already existing in the city as models for implementing a civil rights agenda. I repeat this history just to emphasize that the work of the Title VI program has been collaborative work with Danielle Brooks and with Shoshana Oppenheim, with involvement by and accountability to the community, outreach to policy experts, and a real investment of time and effort by city staff. Many of the participants in these processes have worked with Shoshana Oppenheim to confirm that this Title VI plan captures the spirit and the goals of the work of these past several years, and we look forward to continuing those efforts to implement the civil rights agenda in the city of Portland.
Thanks very much.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hales and commissioners. It's nice to see you again. A couple of new faces in the audience. My name is Alan De La Torre. I'm a commissioner on the Portland Commission on Disabilities. I serve as the chair of the Accessibility and the Built Environment Subcommittee. and I'm also a project manager for Portland's Age Friendly Cities Project. So I try not to reiterate what's been said already, but I'd like to first applaud the city's efforts in bringing Title VI and civil rights to the forefront of the discussion today. I'd like to recognize Shoshana Oppenheim and Danielle Brooks for their efforts and for including the Portland Commission on Disability in their work. And I really would like to say that the Commission on Disability and the disability community appreciates the outreach and the participation that's kind of occurred in the last, since the beginning of the Office of Equity and Human Rights, but continuing through this effort. I also would like to note that it's very important to recognize that we are aging in an unprecedented fashion and that we will see a continued number of people with disabilities living in community settings as we move forward. So these are other issues that need to be included and thought about in our push for environmental justice and equity. I'd also just like to kind of point out that when we talk about accessibility and talk about environments, we're talking about environments that are good for people who are pushing strollers, in wheelchairs, and in walkers. So there's a very diverse range of individuals, and I think that the work that's going on here is very much a part of that. So I just would like to put on the record our support for the work that the Office of Management and Finance is doing to draft administrative rules moving forward. We look forward to being involved in the implementation and the continued engagement with the city, and thank you again for your efforts.
Thank you.
Oh, we can slide it down. All right.
There you go.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hales and City Council members. Thank you for allowing me the time to share with you some thoughts on the implementation of the Title VI of the Civil Rights Plan. It's kind of interesting for me. This is, I think, one of the few times that I've been able to speak before you as somebody providing testimony rather than interpreting for community members. So it's quite a treat that it happens to be for the adoption of the Title VI. It's a matter of...
What's your name?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Victor Salinas, and I work for Latino Network. Latino Network provides transformative opportunities, services, and advocacy for the education, leadership, and civic engagement of youth, families, and communities. So oftentimes the work that we're doing is helping the Latino community learn how to engage with the city. So the ability to be able to have materials and access and language access to the services that the city provides, the programs, and the resources is quite valuable. For example, one of the services that we offer is a six-month leadership academy, Academia de Líderes, which is offered thanks to the Diversity and Civic Leadership Program through the Office of Neighborhood Involvement. And through that program, we go through the process of helping the community, like I said, learn how to engage with city, county, and metro. Part of the way that we do this is with some materials that the different municipalities offer us, like this brochure that we had previously from the city that helps people know how to provide testimony, how to engage, and how to advocate. So the adoption of a translation policy as part of the Title VI plan will greatly impact immigrant and refugee communities, as well as people who are not English language proficient interact with the city and engage in a meaningful way. I did want to point out just a couple of suggestions. As part of the plan, some municipalities have opted to use Google Translate as opposed to having their web pages translated or their materials offered or digital materials offered translated. And that is a really, truly a baseline because it gives you the gist of what it's stated in the document, but it doesn't actually provide a full understanding of a translated document. And so that's just one of the suggestions that I wanted to offer since I know so many municipalities do that. And the other one is thank you for beginning to offer more and more interpreters at forums and making them available in the different bureaus so that our community members can participate on committees. For example, Jackie Luna from Latino Network has been working on the pay committee for the Portland plan in the last year. She's worked with the same interpreter and has had a really wonderful experience. because she's been able to engage and interact and be a part of that community in a meaningful way in spite of the fact that she is not English language proficient. And so we love it for our community members, not only from the Latino community, but all communities of color, to be able to have that experience to participate, even if language is not their first language or their strong language. So thank you.
Thank you. Great. Questions? Thanks very much, all of you, for your partnership on this. Others that are set up or signed up to testify?
Two people signed up, Shabre Vickers and Glenn Bridger.
Good afternoon. Our high-tech microphone system.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Shabre Vickers, and I'm the member of the Portland African American Leadership Forum's Executive Committee, also known as PALF. PALF is a network of African American leaders united around a common action agenda. 2 months ago, our Civic Engagement Committee, of which I am a co-chair, met with Mrs. Oppenheim to learn about the City of Portland's proposed Title VI Civil Rights Plan. And as outlined in the endorsement letter that you all have, PALF supports this plan and process and commends the city for taking steps to comply with the federal government. Whereas we think this plan is a proper step in the correct direction, we must state that this is only the beginning and that there is much work to be done to ensure that the civil rights of African Americans and all Portlanders is a true priority under the letter of the law. The success of Title VI will be based upon sound implementation. Therefore, we have a few expectations of this program. Ensure meaningful involvement of community by including substantial representation of culturally diverse community groups at the development, implementation, and evaluation stages of the Title VI program. We are also looking forward to ensuring that development and implement that this plan will develop and implement culturally and linguistically specific awareness and education campaigns around the Title VI program to ensure communities are aware of their legal rights. We also hope that this plan will allocate substantial budgetary support to the program with a focus on ensuring that staff across city bureaus are adequately implementing Title VI law, in addition to centrally located staff focused solely on Title VI that will act as an accountability body to support the compliance of individual bureaus. And lastly, looking at develop metrics and benchmarks for evaluating the Title VI program based upon priorities set by culturally diverse communities that can be reviewed and tracked consistently over time. Thank you.
Thank you. Glenn.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Glenn Bridger. I am a community activist and a member of the Portland's Public Involvement Advisory Council. I come to speak in support of the Title VI plan that is in front of you. A little background on why I love to this opportunity to speak about the Title VI plan. During my 38 years with the Federal Highway Administration, I had varying responsibilities for overseeing the administration of this plan, and I know that it is important and it works. Civil rights issues today are not smoking guns. We don't see someone say, you can't do this because you are. Most of what goes on are either subtle policies that need to be evaluated, and by subtle policies, I mean meetings and meeting rooms that really aren't accessible. Signs, I've seen this, signs for farm workers that are only in Spanish. Property records for projects that are only in the first and last name of the husband, not of both or all owners. These types of things tend to insult people to see this taking place, and we need to overcome that because they were acceptable 50 years ago, but they're not acceptable today, and we need to change those. The other part of civil rights programs are data-driven. We need to have information and data in order to analyze that a good job is really being done. That means we have to administer this program in a manner that is not blind to those protected classes, but that is neutral to those protected classes. We need data to know who we're affecting, who is participating, who is not participating, so that we can analyze it statistically and say, we're failing here, or we are meeting our goals here. So we need to have data in order to do this. Now, our Public Advisory Council has sent a letter in support of this. There are so many important things in here that come forward to the public involvement process. We need early and meaningful public involvement. We need to have people know where they are and how they can participate in programs. We need to be positive and have outreach. But why am I here? Why do I care? Well, inclusiveness in the public involvement process leads to better informed decisions and better decisions generally. And that means it helps me as an individual and it helps our city as a whole. That is why I support this program, and I look forward to working with Council Shoshona and the rest of the people implementing this as our city moves forward.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Anyone else signed up?
That's all who signed up.
Shoshana, do you want to come wrap it up? And Bryant?
If you have any questions, we're happy to take them now.
Council questions, concerns? This will come back on second reading since it's not an emergency ordinance.
That's right.
So we might want to make sure we afford council members some opportunity to comment today because I suspect this might pass next week on second reading, and therefore we can talk about it while the folks who worked so hard on it are here with us.
Mayor, I have a question. The materials that we have outline a process for complaints being filed and then heard and adjudicated. And the first thing that comes to mind is when you set up a complaint process, you have to be prepared for lots of people using it, and then you have the question about do we have the capacity to address them in a timely fashion. In the not-too-distant past, we had some EEO policies in the city that looked great on paper, but they took forever to be resolved, and therefore they really did not work very well. So could you give us a sense about what you're expecting in terms of workflow, and do we have the capacity to address what we think may come our way under this new policy?
That's a good question. We were very clear to set timelines within the complaint process that we as staff are required to meet those timelines in terms of responding. At this point, I am the complaint officer for the City of Portland under Title VI. So I'll know shortly whether or not my capacity in that regard needs to be supplemented.
And so this report contemplates triennial reports back to us?
That's correct.
Which I guess means...
Every 3 years.
Okay. Every 3 years. So it may very well be, though, that in one of our bumps, you come back to us saying you're swamped with the work under this, and we need additional resources. Is that correct?
I do hope that I'm spending more of my time on the proactive side that rather than resolving complaints. On the proactive side, teaching staff how to be effective in terms of public involvement and avoiding complaints. But there is the likelihood that there will be complaints that as people learn about the process, as people learn about the protections, that they are exercising their opportunity to complain. So there might very well be a budget ask.
Well, Mayor, if I could offer a comment.
Please.
First, Shoshana, thank you very much for your good work and the briefings that you gave us, each of the commissioners and the mayor, on this. One of the people who testified earlier made a comment about the graying of Portland. And as someone heading into mid-50s, I have a personal experience with the graying of Portland. And but I also, in my work here, I serve as liaison to Elders in Action. And I just offered this observation. For a long time, Elders in Action has had as one of its key advocacy items a requirement that local government put all their materials in a font that is legible, readable for older adults. Because it turns out as we get older, our eyes don't work as well. And they've been, you know, beating this drum that they want bigger fonts, and that has led to, I think, on our website, at least in the redesign, something you can drop down and pick a bigger font if you want to read it, if you have a challenge with your eyesight. Well, like a lot of people, that was an abstraction to me when I was in my 30s and 40s. It was something that someone was advocating for, but I didn't really appreciate what it meant until I hit my 50s and found that I'm dealing with tremendous challenges with my eyes, myopia, nearsightedness, 20/300 as far as I can tell, and now glaucoma. And it's interesting, it now actually resonates with me because I can't read the fonts that most of our documents come in. So part of what we're saying here is we're setting up institutionally a system so that we are more prepared to address these issues, not as someone else's problem, but as an established barrier to people exercising their full citizen rights and serving in a democratic society. And frankly, what can be more fundamental than not being able to read, either because we're using a Google pull down that doesn't have a proper English translation or Spanish translation, or because the font is so small that someone literally can't read it. So to the extent we're talking about institutionalizing in everything we do, a sensitivity about how we bring everybody into our system of government and let them participate, I would say bravo. And this is a small start, but I think it's the right start. And so the other piece I wanted to comment on is the environmental justice piece, because it looks like with my two bureaus, we're going to have a big say about that with water and the Bureau of Environmental Services. And I will want to know from you as we go forward, what does this actually look like on the ground? And when we're taking up Superfund, or we're taking up rate making, or we're taking up any of these complex things, what do these guidelines actually mean to make sure we do a better process, a more inclusive process, and get better outcomes? So I want to thank you for the leadership you've shown on this to date, and we certainly look forward to working with you.
So Commissioner Fish, as you're saying that, I'm looking at Jerry Sandoval Williams, who was talking about environmental justice before I knew what the term meant. And so you've got some great resources in the city to assist with that. I'm mindful that the reserve in the Bureau of Development Services is bigger than the entire budget of the Office of Neighborhood Involvement and the Office of Equity put together. And recognizing that those two bureaus are not responsible for implementing this plan. Shoshana, the one person who's doing both Title VI and Title II, is not responsible for implementing this plan. All the bureaus are. So when my daughter asks me, as she always does when I get home, how was your day, I will tell her today, we had a good day at the office. Because not only did we do the affirmative action plan this morning, but now we're taking this next step. And I just want to read the first section of the ordinance, which says, Title VI of the 1964 Civil Rights Act provided groundbreaking protection from discrimination in federally funded programs, services, and activities based on a person's race, color, or national origin. Over time, Title VI and related statutes have been expanded to address discrimination based on age, sex, disability, and limited English proficiency. But as the PULF letter says, this is a step, and we are not where we should be in all these years since 1964. So I appreciate, Shoshana, your excellent work over the last 6 months in reaching out to different communities, doing the legwork, and pulling this plan together. I, again, concur with my colleague, Commissioner Fish, that in all probability, one person cannot do both Title II and Title VI and compliance and everything else that needs to be done. So you've done magnificent work to date. And we have much more to do, so I certainly will be supporting any request for additional staffing for those needs. And just finally need to note that Jennifer Yoakum, the community participation manager in the Bureau of Parks, brought over to my office at lunchtime a stack of the summer free-for-all flyers in Spanish, because she had seen that I'm the keynote speaker at the VOS celebration tonight. So we already have bureaus who are looking at what needs to be done and getting out there and doing it. And so I'm very proud to be in a city that has recognized we have some failings and is stepping up to meet those challenges with a very diverse partnership. So thanks to Lisa Bates for your work at Portland State and to Alan for yours there and also on the Commission with Disabilities. As Commissioner Fish just said, I think the inclusion of disability, I'm never going to experience what it's like to live in a skin color that's other than mine, but I have increasing difficulties with disabilities as I grow older. I have some of the challenges of being an immigrant, but I speak English, or at least a version of American that most people can understand most of the time. And that's a different experience. I also want to recognize Afifa Ahmed Shafi in the Office of Neighborhood Involvement for her groundbreaking work over many years now with the Public Involvement Advisory Committee. We would not be where we are today without that stalwart group of both city employees and citizens, thank you, Glenn, putting in an enormous amount of time to give us great work. So I think it's our job to not just have this be a wonderful document, but it has to be a living, a breathing, a moving document, and we have to act on it. And I certainly take that charge to heart, and I thank everybody for your good work.
Great. Other comments?
Just two comments. Lisa Bates and I had conversations during the city budget process about continually striving to ensure that we incorporate more of an equity discussion into the budget process, and I expect that we'll all work together on that going into the next year. And I also just have to respond to Alan's statement that people in Portland are aging in an unprecedented fashion. And I know that we all like to think that we in Portland do things in new and different ways, but I personally plan to age the old-fashioned way by doing such things as yelling at kids to get off my lawn.
That's one of the options anyway. Well, I'd just like to reflect. I think these comments are great. My only addition would be that just taking in this presentation this afternoon, it's just so clearly both internally and externally collaborative. Just the sense of how the bureaus have worked together with you, Shoshana, and how we've really seamlessly engaged academic leaders, communities of color, culturally specific groups in the city, advocacy groups to work on this. And just the tone of the presentation and the folks that came here to talk about it today really reflects that collaborative effort. And I think that's, this is important policy, and it's important protection, and it could be developed, without that level of engagement. And maybe you could still have good policy, but I think the way you've done it matters just about as much as what you've done. So thank you for the way this has been put together and the spirit of what I heard from everyone who worked together with you on this. Well, thank you all very much. This will come back for second reading next week, and thank you for great work. We have a time certain in 10 minutes, so I think we should take a 10-minute break and take it up promptly at 3.